From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us with alien DNA stories, followed by conversations with Cheryl. We'll take your calls. Here's what's happening. President Donald Trump said that he has seen evidence suggesting that the coronavirus originated from a laboratory in China, while continuing his criticism of the World Health Organization's ties to Beijing, comparing the group to a public relations agency. The president was speaking to reporters about protecting America's senior citizens when they asked him about that. Dozens of protesters, some of them with armed guns, gathered Thursday inside Michigan's Capitol building to voice their opposition to Governor Gretchen Whitmer's stay-at-home order, with tensions very high as lawmakers were poised to debate an extension of the declaration. Holding American flags and handmade signs, the demonstrators in Lansing first congregated shoulder to shoulder outside before demanding to be let inside the building. Some chanted, "Let us in." People are getting very tired and uptight about this situation. Let's check in with online columnist Dr. John Curtis for his weekly update on the coronavirus situation. Hi, John.
Hey, George. Well, I think we all know now that, yes, it leaked out of a bioweapons lab in Wuhan, China. Now, we reported that on Coast to Coast over 4 weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
Now, let me just back up a little bit and tell you the big story that is not being reported, which is the Deputy Foreign Minister, Li Lucheng, said yesterday that China locked down Wuhan on January 23rd because of this massive outbreak of the SARS, you know, the coronavirus, okay? So on the 14th, we're talking about a week earlier, basically, Tedros, the head of World Health Organization, declared there was no human-to-human transmission going on in Wuhan. Now, if that doesn't tell you there was a massive cover-up by Tedros, nothing does. And when you stop to think that this could have, as Trump was saying, could have been very easily prevented by them notifying the world, locking down the world back in January or late December, this million, you know, we're talking about 3 million people, hundreds of thousands of deaths, almost 70,000 deaths now in the United States, all could have been prevented. But no, the Chinese foreign minister, deputy foreign minister, is saying how upfront and open China is. Well, they're so upfront and open, they will not release any U.S. inspectors, anybody from the U.S. to go and check out the level 4 bioweapons lab where it's suspected that that virus that they were experimenting on pangolins, either leaked via a human source or the infected lab animals were sold into China's wet market and infected the population. So, you know, you've got a situation right now where China has massive liability here and are going to be sued by multiple countries for this outbreak and the destruction that this has created and the cover-up with who. How this Tedros has the audacity to remain in his position right now when he sat with a personal favor to the Chinese president because he got him the job at WHO, essentially, and kept this a secret to protect China's economy. This is a beyond outrageous. And I think what we're looking at with these lockdowns that are continuing to go on in the United States, when, George, this virus has mutated to the point that as much as 60 now, maybe 70% of the population has already been infected with coronavirus and are asymptomatic.
That's true. Now, John, I also want you to do a little homework for us. I found out last night from one of our guests that apparently there are some individuals and maybe some companies that have patents on certain coronaviruses. What the heck is that all about?
Well, this is a market for bioweapons, George. We know that, you know, this is being done all over the planet. It's being done by Russia. It's being done by the United States. It's done by China. Bioweapons research. I mean, look, we went to war in 2003, you know, over alleged weapons of mass destruction. These weapons of mass destruction exist. They exist in China. They exist in the United States. And they are patented and they are sold on the open market. So, yes, we do need to draw people's attention to that.
Okay, my friend, John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. The stock market wrapped up its best month in April since 1987 as the coronavirus recovery continues. Truly amazing. Even though it dropped today, it seems to be holding on. Catherine Austin Fitz is live in the Netherlands with us. Catherine, what's your take and what are you hearing about the economy out that way, about the U.S. because of this coronavirus?
Well, I think you, George, you've done it. Great lengths have been made to use fake science to shut down the global economy. And the reality is you're seeing tremendous, from the time of the shutdown in the first month, U.S. billionaires increased their wealth 10%. So there are a lot of people moving to take extraordinary opportunity of this to centralize control of the economy. The economy is clearly very, very slow. We see predictions of drops in the second quarter for the U.S. as much as 40% of GDP. It's unprecedented.
That's unbelievable.
Right. Well, this is a war. And, you know, it raises serious questions about whether this virus is engineered and who did it.
Well, you know, we're convinced it was engineered. How it got out, that's another story, of course, whether it was an accident or done on purpose. It's going to take, how long do you think, Catherine, once things slowly get back to normal, for the economy to get back to normal?
Well, I don't know that the economy will get back to normal, because if you look at the proposals being made, you know, the proposals being made are include those that will end individual and national sovereignty. So, you know, and I have to tell you, I have no idea how this virus got out, but if you look at the extent to which it has bolstered the U.S. dollar, it's been pretty miraculous. So if you look at the proposals being made and the extent to which, you know, the proposal to basically install an operating system in people and regularly update it with mandated vaccines, you know, that's going to make Gates and his syndicate the richest people in the history of the planet.
Absolutely.
So,
Catherine.
Yes. It's greed. I've never seen greed like this. It's unbelievable. And the willingness to destroy and kill people, you know, to benefit the greed of a few. It's extraordinary.
It's as extraordinary as the coronavirus itself. Catherine, thank you, and stay safe out there in the Netherlands. A story we have in our highlight reel at coasttocoastam.com. The president saw video of the Pentagon showing unidentified aerial phenomena, a video that you've seen a few months ago that we have posted in our highlight reel again. He called it a hell of a video and told Reuters that he wonders if it's real. Earlier this week, the Pentagon officially released the three videos that we told you about months ago that show what appears to be unidentified flying objects rapidly moving while recorded by infrared cameras from Navy jets. Two of the videos contain service members reacting in awe at how quickly the objects are moving. One voice speculates that it could be from another world. Up next, Nick Pope joins us. We're going to talk about this incredible story next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Nick Pope with us, author, journalist, television personality. He's on Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. Nick ran the British government's UFO project at the Ministry of Defense, recognized as one of the world's leading authorities on UFOs, the unexplained, conspiracy theories, and fringe science as well. And here he is to react to this incredible story of the Pentagon releasing these strange videos. Nick, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be back on the show.
How exciting. The president even saying that he called these footages a hell of a lot of video, but he didn't know if they were real or not, but he was really excited about it.
Yes, absolutely. A few years ago, you would never have gotten an on-the-record comment from a president about this subject at all. The whole thing, you know, a question would never have been allowed, and let alone them proactively putting a comment in. And if there was a comment, it was usually an ex-president talking on Jimmy Kimmel and just making a joke of it, talking about it in terms of sci-fi. And now we're having a serious adult conversation about it. It's amazing times.
The group To the Stars of Academy, they were able to get this video several months ago, and of course everybody knew about it then. What has taken the Pentagon so long to really officially say, well, here it is?
Well, I think a couple of things. Firstly, there was an Air Force Office of Special Investigations inquiry into the circumstances surrounding how these three videos got into the public domain. And, of course, not only to the STARS Academy, but a couple of UFO discussion forums had these videos out for some years now. And they are official videos, of course. So Air Force Office of Special Investigations and others were taking a look at this and saying, look, did anyone leak classified information? How did this get out? Do we need to tighten up our processes in some way? And there may still be comeback from all this. I mean, one of the interesting things about the Pentagon's statement a couple of days ago is that they referred to the previous releases as unauthorized. Now, usually something like that, you would expect consequences.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. Now, to those who haven't seen the video, we've got it at coasttocoastam.com in our highlight reel. Tell people what it is, what they look like.
Okay, well, there's three videos, and essentially they are taken from forward-looking infrared cameras mounted on these F-18 Super Hornets, U.S. Navy jets, and they show, I'm going to say small, but of course that's one of the things about this. There's a lot we don't know in terms of size of objects, etc., but they look fairly small, very fast, and almost the most amazing thing about this is the cockpit voice recordings, as these Top Gun pilots, who of course are not easily impressed when you're flying these multi-million dollar jets and you're flying yourself at thousands of miles an hour and incredible speeds and maneuvers, and yet here they are, obviously absolutely blown away by what they're encountering, and sort of saying, shouting out to each other, look at that thing, look at it, you know, there's a whole fleet of them. So you've got these three videos, essentially, of Navy jets chasing UFOs. Everything the UFO community said for years happened, but could never prove, and now here we have the Department of Defense themselves saying, yes, this is real.
Is there any way that these objects could be ours?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, there are about, my goodness, probably, you know, six or seven different competing theories as to what we're dealing with here. I mean, just to run through the list, we could be looking, it's unlikely, but we could be looking at some combination of pilot misperception, radar glitch, and forward-looking infrared camera anomalies. I mean, I think that would be a stretch, but it's possible you can't rule it out. Then absolutely the idea that this could be U.S. technology, blank project technology, blind tested against the fleet to see how they react. It could be from a foreign country, Russia or China, probably, reconnaissance against the fleet. It could be some non-state actor technology, someone like Elon Musk and his new toys, so to speak. The whole thing could be part of some intelligence operation, deception, psychological operation, something like that. Or, and this is, of course, what the UFO community believe and hope, it could be the real deal. It could be something else, something literally otherworldly. And all those theories are still in play. And, of course, the official position of the Pentagon is these things remain unidentified. And so there is a debate still to be had.
You've looked at these videos, Nick. You're an expert. What do you think? What's your gut tell you?
Well, you know, I'm going to actually disagree with you on that. I'm not an expert on this. When I did this for the Ministry of Defense...
You are to us.
Well, yeah, but I know what I don't know, and I think sometimes that's part of what being a real expert is. And when I got these sorts of things at the Ministry of Defence, and over the years, the Royal Air Force had, you know, we had some gun camera footage where our own pilots saw and chased these things. But I would always hand them off to the technical experts, and I would say to them, look, I don't know. You tell me what we're dealing with here. And one of the really interesting points about all this is that the United States government, of course, is one of the world's leaders, if not the world leader, in MASINT, measurement and signals, measurement and signature intelligence. So looking at these sorts of films across the whole range of, for example, the electromagnetic spectrum, radio waves, and being able to do all sorts of, I'm literally going to say to you, George, Jedi stuff with
yeah.
these sorts of films. And so I don't know, but I'll tell you this, somebody deep within the military intelligence community in the U.S., if they don't know, they sure as heck have a darned good idea.
Absolutely. Now, has the Pentagon told us everything they want to tell us?
No, they never do, as you know. I mean, look, their public position is these, as they put it, the aerial phenomena showed in these videos remain unidentified. But I know from my own direct government experience of this that, and we've talked about this before, for example, that we know President Trump has had a briefing on these videos. So his comment a day or so ago was very interesting
sure.
to Reuters. Various senators have been briefed, too, on the Armed Services Committee, the Intelligence Committee. They've had these briefings. The briefing will not just be, we don't know, end of brief, pack up, leave the room. No, they will go through all these theories, and they will assign to them a sort of order of probability. And they'll use something called the CIA, I forget what it's called, the scale of estimative probability, where you use all these words like it is likely, it is possible, it is probable, it is highly unlikely. And you assign a sort of order of probability to the different theories. You say, you know, okay, could it be Russia or China? And you probably can't say absolutely not, but maybe it's only 5%. And those briefings have been had.
You and I have been on Ancient Aliens quite a bit, but you were also on interviewing former presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, that was a really bizarre experience. It's Ancient Aliens tend to use me not so much for the Egyptian and Mayan and Mesopotamian stuff. They leave that to people like Giorgio Tsoukalos.
Right. You're the UFO guy.
I'm the UFO guy, and particularly I'm the government guy, the radar, pilots, intelligence, that sort of thing. So Dennis Kucinich, of course, sought the Democratic nomination twice. And then there was that infamous gotcha moment in the debate where the moderator said, I gather you've had a UFO experience at Shirley MacLaine's house, and the rest is history. It was a real gotcha moment. So for the first time ever, Dennis Kucinich went on the record, appeared on Ancient Aliens on an episode called Aliens and the Presidents that aired a week or so ago, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I essentially went back to Shirley MacLaine's old house where this encounter happened up in Washington State. And we spent a couple of days up there, and he talked me through it. And this was the first time he went on the record. Honestly, if it were not for the coronavirus story, of course, and, you know, dominating the
oh, my God,
news,
yeah.
This would have been a huge story. I mean, Dennis Kucinich finally going on the record about what he saw and how it affected his bid to become president, essentially, to get the Democratic nomination, and who knows what would have happened. So that was really fascinating. And, you know, of course, I've interviewed Denis Kucinich about this. I've interviewed Tucker Carlson about this. So they wheel me out for these political interviews.
So the Pentagon releases these videos right during the coronavirus situation, which kind of buries the story, Nick. Let's get your reaction to that and the timing of this release. Next hour, we'll take calls with Nick Pope about UFOs in general right here on Coast to Coast AM. And our special guest, Nick Pope, we're talking about the Pentagon releasing three amazing videos of something. They could be UFOs. We'll be back with Nick in a moment. We'll take calls with him next hour on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Nick Pope with us. So, Nick, this was released during this pandemic situation, and I got to tell you, it kind of buried the story. Normally, if the story like this would be released on a non-news event moment, it would get a lot of publicity. It did not get a lot of publicity. Do you think that was done on purpose?
Yes, I think there's a strong suspicion here that the timing was a little bit planned, orchestrated. In the United Kingdom, there's a phrase, and this dates from something that happened just after 9/11. We call it a good day to bury bad news.
That's right.
Yeah, what happened was immediately after the towers came down, a senior political advisor said, essentially, it's a slight misquote, but the sense of it was, if we've got any bad news, any inconvenient truths, any announcements that we've been worried about making, let's get them out now, because I tell you what, nothing else apart from 9/11 is going to be in the news cycle. So there is a suspicion that the Pentagon choosing this week to put out this story is a way of getting it out there. They had to do that, I think, getting it out there, but at the one time when the whole world was looking the other way.
There's a joke about a politician who lost his election, and somebody was asking him, so what happened? How'd you lose? You were ahead in the polls. He said, I screwed up on a slow news day. And that's true. You know, you got a slow news day, a story like the videos would be huge. But if they're meshed in with a whole bunch of other breaking stories like the coronavirus, it doesn't take top priority at all. Nick, when you were with the British Ministry of Defense, tell folks who are new to you what you did with those UK files.
Well, we had about 200 or 300 UFO sighting reports each year. And we had to investigate those to determine if there was a threat to the defense of the UK. And we'd had a program. I mean, goodness, we'd had UFO sightings, of course, since the Second World War. But we had a formally constituted UFO program since 1953. So I certainly wasn't the first person to have this job. And we had to research and investigate. And we looked at it like all of government looking at anything, we looked at it in terms of what are the threats and what are the opportunities. And the threats would be, obviously, if any of this did turn out to be, for example, Russia or China, or even if it turned out to be extraterrestrial and we didn't know what the agenda was. And the opportunities, of course, the big opportunities, and this gets to the heart of the Pentagon's interest in all this, the big opportunity is technology acquisition. My goodness, if any of this is real, the technology, for example, to travel between the stars, both in terms of being able to accomplish that, but also, of course, in terms of the energy required, the nation on Earth that first acquires that technology will be the dominant power on Earth for foreseeable future.
What's so great about this, too, though, is the great ufologists of the past and present, the late Stanton Friedman, the many ufologists today, all of them that you know and we know, you know, they got to be relishing this because they could be vindicated soon enough, don't you think?
Absolutely, yes. I think for years this subject languished somewhat. It was seen as fringe. It was either ignored by the mainstream media or when they discuss it, it was laughed at or dismissed in terms of science fiction memes and things like that. And now here we are having a grown-up conversation about it. We have pilots, we have radar operators, we have intelligence community personnel who've been directly involved in this, and we have the president and various senators who've been briefed, coming forward and saying things like, well, it's a hell of a video.
We've been losing some great UFO conferences because of the coronavirus scare. We've lost contact in the desert, which was going to come up the end of May, early June. That's been put off for at least a year. That kind of hurts the field, doesn't it?
It does. People enjoy these events. They obviously turn up to learn, to listen to the latest findings from researchers, but also, of course, to network with colleagues and friends. And I think I think it will bounce back. I think once we get over the sort of excessive fear about this, and once we realize what we're really dealing with, I think there'll probably be a backlash against all of this. There'll have to be a full inquiry, of course. And
yep.
Conferences, like all big social events, whether they're sporting, whether they're scientific, academic, whatever, they'll be back with a vengeance, and people will be glad to be back and mingling and learning and having fun again.
Dr. David Jacobs, of course, believes that the UFO visitations are happening and that they're nefarious. They're not very good for us. What do you think of that?
Well, in a sense, that's the default position of government and military. So he's right in one sense. It's far better to assume that something is hostile and be pleasantly surprised and relieved when that doesn't materialize, then assume the other way around, kind of figure, oh, yeah, everything will be fine, and then get caught with your pants down if there is a threat. So I think he's probably at the far end of that spectrum, but in a sense he's only reflecting that sort of natural military intelligence community caution that comes from any situation like this.
Do you think that if these occupants of UFOs, assuming that's where they're coming from other lands, other planets, if they get here with the technology they have, however they're getting here, whether they're bending space and time or whatever, that there's probably no way we can defend ourselves against a hostile group that might come here?
Yes, there is no way. I think people don't really get the distances involved and things. And sometimes I hear people say, but we've got a space program too, you know.
And we've got missiles and we've got all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the technology gap between, say, the European explorers and, say, the Native Americans, the indigenous populations of Central and Southern America, I don't know what you would estimate that technology gap as being, a few hundred years or something like that. In a universe nearly 14 billion years old, we might be dealing with civilizations with millions of years head start on
exactly.
Us. And then
exactly.
we're back to that classic Arthur C. Clarke quote that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
I mean, if you look at how technology has grown in just 100 years, even less. I mean, we went to the moon, 57 years ago, something like that? I mean, truly remarkable technology in such a short time span. And as you said, Nick, add a million years to it or 100,000, assuming knowledge grows at the same pace all over the place. I mean, jump-starting a civilization 200,000 years from the technology we have today, they could be walking on water.
Absolutely. A couple of hundred years ago, the fastest way we traveled was probably on horseback at a fast gallop.
And a stagecoach.
Yeah, and now stealth fighters and space rockets. And fast forward that. Imagine a civilization with a few million years technological head start on us. And it's not just going to be like going up against stealth fighters and aircraft carriers with bow and arrow. It's going to be orders of magnitude beyond that. So we would frankly have no chance at all. Zero. Literally zero.
Got an email from one of our listeners last week who said, George, those people who are on stagecoaches back in the 1800s getting from one place to another, and they were long rides, what did they do when they had to go to the bathroom? And I just emailed them back and said, I don't care. But it's technology. Technology continues to change. And it's conceivable that if these visitations are real, here's the other question. Why are they coming here? Is it the Zechariah Sitchin theory that they seeded us, that they created us? Maybe they're watching us again, Nick? Or what do you think their purpose is to come here? Are they curious? What is it?
Well, I like to think that they come here as scientists. They come here as anthropologists. And to truly ancient and advanced civilizations with millions, perhaps a billion or 2 years head start on us, maybe newly emerging civilizations like us represent truly the last interesting and new thing in the cosmos for them to study.
Absolutely. Nick, this is one of the most amazing possibilities I think we've ever had in our modern time, and that's these videos that were done. In, you know, if it's done, if it's aircraft that Boeing has created for the government or something, I don't think the Pentagon would release it, do you?
No. If this was some secret prototype aircraft, missile, or drone, absolutely. You would deny, you wouldn't put it out at all. And here's another interesting point about all this. As we've said, these videos have been seen before. The story was dying down. There was no need, really, for the Pentagon to put this out there, but they put it out there themselves. Now, you do not put out, I mean, can you imagine? The stealth fighter, for example, was flying for years before it was publicly declared. You didn't have a situation where they put out videos of it while it was still undeclared and totally unacknowledged. No, so that does certainly put the idea that it's our own tech a little bit on the back burner, and because, as you say, why would you put it out there?
Absolutely. You know, one of the books that got me into this field in the first place was done by former New York Times science writer Walter Sullivan, and the book is called We Are Not Alone, and it came out a long, long time ago. And, you know, his theory was we're simply not alone in the universe. And when you look at the vastness of this universe, isn't it really inconceivable to even try to assume that we're alone?
Totally. I mean, the more we find out, it's like almost literally every week there's a new story, astronomy story about we found this, we found that, we've got better images of this. We're looking farther and farther out. And the more we look, the more we find, the less special we seem to be. And that's good, I think, in a sense. And literally, there's nothing magic about planet Earth. It's the old Copernican principle. If you walk, I mean, just to give a silly example, but if you walk into a room, you're not going to be the tallest person in the room. You're not going to be the shortest. You know, you'll probably be somewhere in the middle, sort of basic statistics. So same with planet Earth. We're just going to find that we're a fairly ordinary planet orbiting a fairly ordinary star, and there's nothing magic or special about us. And just as life has evolved here, it's probably evolved millions and millions of times out there in the cosmos.
It's truly remarkable these days. Hey, I enjoyed Alien Snowfest. How about you?
Yes, that's one of the great, I mean, there are a lot of great conferences out there, but some of them, you know, I'm not, you know, it's a little bit cookie cutter, but Alien Snowfest has real character to it.
We love capturing you, abducting you, and taking you to restaurants out that way.
Absolutely. It's all good fun.
And it's cold there, too.
It's cold. Which
Big Bear.
You need a nice little tot of whiskey.
One day, Nick, things will open up again and we'll get there and stuff like that. In terms of propulsion, how do you think they're getting here?
Well, there's a whole bunch of different possibilities. Obviously, there's people have talked about, NASA, JPL have talked, for example, about exotic propulsion systems that might involve nuclear fission or matter, antimatter annihilation. And then, of course, you get into the Pentagon's ATIP program, and you look at some of those 38 technical reports that the DIA reported to Congress that were produced under the ATIP contract, and you literally get into things that sound like they come out of Star Trek. And yet, here they are in a DIA letter to Congress. Warp drive, wormholes. I mean, it sounds, as I say, like something out of Star Trek. But people are working on this to see if the theoretical physics adds up. And if it does, can any of that be engineered?
Nick Pope's website is his name, nickpope.net, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He's got a series of books and DVDs fully listed on his website, and let me tell you, they are remarkable. He's got one, Aliens at the Pentagon, which is a DVD, and one of his books is called, of course, Encounter in Rendlesham Forest. That story alone, Nick, is absolutely stunning, isn't it?
Oh, yes. This is Britain's Roswell. And this coming December, it will be 40 years old.
Jeez. And,
you know, time was when I thought of this as a recent case, so I guess maybe I've been in this business too long. But, 40 years, and it's still unexplained. That's still the official position of the UK Ministry of Defence. I did a cold case review into this because we were getting questions on it still from the media, from members of parliament. I did a cold case review in about 93-94, and we interviewed witnesses, we looked at the radar data, the radiation levels, all the original documents from the United States and the United Kingdom. We drew a complete blank. This case cannot be explained in conventional terms, though many have tried.
Nick, I used to call Stanton Friedman the grandfather of ufology, and now that he's passed, we might have to put you in that place, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Surely I'm not that old. Somebody else can have that title, please.
Stay with us. We're going to take phone calls next with Nick Pope. Questions, or maybe you've had a bona fide UFO sighting you want to tell him about? Check in with us, and as you know, every Friday and Thursday, Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center joins us for a moment to give us updates on what's going on. Lots of UFO activity. Nick Pope, your calls next on Coast to Coast AM.